Hey kids, Future Mike here with a quick bit of business before we get into the episode proper. If you're listening to this episode when it goes live, you may have noticed that it's a full 2 days later than usual. I didn't go through the roughly 6 years of back catalog, but this might just be the first time this has ever been delayed this long. Not to get into anything, but there was some personal stuff going on that was draining me on a level I wasn't even conscious of until my wife made me look at it and exactly what was going on inside my head. I want to thank all the regulars for your patience with me in getting this episode up and being supportive of me as I make it work. You folks really do make all the work we do here at Inroads and for Game Store Profits worth it. Now to get this episode in gear so we can get back to the regular schedule of things, especially since this is the first of a two-part special Gen Con edition of Game Store Profits. I hope you like it. Future Mike, out.
Welcome to Game Store Profits, where we talk about God, gaming, and Groots. I'm your host, Daniel Fisher, along with the Prince of Pingaloo, Mike Perna. How you doing today, Mike?
Isn't that the game where you're, like, shooting rubber bands at penguins?
No. This is the game where you've got these little wooden eggs that are different colors, and you've got these penguins that sit on top of them, and so you pick it up and you've got to roll these dice, and the two colors on the dice, you have to find them, and if you find them both in one turn, you get to keep both of them, and if you only find one, you don't get to keep it. You have to put the penguins back, and it's a memory game for kids. I love it. I play it all the time with the kids at church and with my kids. So there you go. You're the Prince of Pingaloo.
That is one I haven't heard of before. You got me.
You're going to have to get this game, Mike, because it's for little kids.
It's true. I am definitely going to have to do even more schmoozing with the people at Haba because I want more kids' games for my little one.
And Blue Orange.
Well, and Peaceable Kingdom, and there's apparently this new Kickstarter that's looking awesome. Like, there's a lot of up-and-coming kids' games, so.
Well, you know at Gen Con, most money I spend is on Haba games, right? Because I'm there, and I'm like, they're so brightly colored, and there's a dragon game that was only in German last year, and I'm hoping they got it translated to English, and if they do, I'll probably end up buying it this year. And Gen Con.
I'm still personally a little bit upset that the last time I was at Gen Con, they were selling Rhino Hero, and if you got there early enough, not only could you buy Rhino Hero, but you could get a little cape that said that was the Rhino Hero super cape, and I didn't do it.
Maybe if we asked them nicely, they would send us the super cape. They could send me a copy of Rhino Hero, and I'd be okay with that.
Hey, they gave us one for Tavern Con. I don't want to push too hard. The people at Haba are our friends, and I like them.
Eventually, people will realize I'm a bum, as my wife likes to call me sometimes.
But anyway, you mentioned Gen Con, and we are actually doing, I guess we'll call it a two-part special.
Yeah.
Because there's two episodes, this one and the following one, happening before Gen Con happens.
I know.
And so because of the fact that sadly I'm not going to be there this year, I will be a contributor to the wonderment that is Gen Can't. But our own Daniel Fisher is going to be there. And regardless of whether you're in Indianapolis for Gen Con or not, you're going to want to pay attention if you like games, because Gen Con is when pretty much every company on the planet makes their big push for these are our new games coming out.
Yeah. It either comes out at Gen Con or Spiel. And
right.
Since I'm not going to Germany anytime soon, it's all about Gen Con.
Well, Gen Con, I'm still amazed by the fact that this year, not only, because there's always been the argument as to whether Spiel or Gen Con is bigger. Both hands down are the biggest in their country, hands down. But there's always the question of which one overall is the bigger. And this year, because it's the 50th anniversary of Gen Con, it's the first time I have ever heard of Gen Con completely selling out of badges.
Yeah. Well, they said, I've heard that there's going to be an estimate of 60,000 people there this year.
Oh, I already can tell you there's more than that because they already hit that number.
Yeah. So I think last year there's like 52 to 58. I can't remember the exact number, but I wasn't there with Game Church last year. So, you know, I was trying to get through that mess. It felt like 100,000 people there last year.
Well, it always feels huge.
Yeah.
Like I went for three different years, and I will say that it always felt like the numbers have always been big.
Yeah.
It's always been larger than life numbers. But at the same point, the feeling, like if you've ever just Google opening day of Gen Con and watch the videos, heck, I think I'm even responsible for one of them. There it is, just waves after waves after waves of humanity.
Yeah, it's one of those things, like if you're in a booth and you don't have to leave that booth, you shouldn't leave that booth.
Oh no. No, that was for years. That was me. Like I'm like, "Oh crap, I got to get to the other side of the hall. Give me an hour and a half."
Yeah. Yeah. And then what's really going to be amazing this year is the fact that they're opening up Lucas Oil Stadium for like a museum of gaming.
I was about to say they opened it up last year, didn't they, for something? I know the True Dungeon folks were there last year.
Yeah. Yeah, but I think this year, from what I'm seeing in the pictures, it's going to be like a museum. This is the 50th year anniversary, and being a TSR junkie and a kind of a Gygaxian D&D historian, knowing the origins of Gen Con, it was named after Lake Geneva, of course, because it was held in Lake Geneva. You know, Gary Gygax and his boys started it up there, his gaming club did. And it grew and grew, and then eventually they outgrew the horticultural hall that they were having it in. And everybody was like, where should we have it? And somebody contacted, I think it was a student at Oshkosh University, contacted Luz Ochi and was like, hey, you should have a gaming convention at our university. And Luz Ochi's like, well, I know somebody that's looking for a new place to have his, you know, and Gen Con ended up in Oshkosh one year, and then eventually it made its way down to Indianapolis. So, but it was all started because of Gary Gygax, guys.
And it's fitting because we find ourselves recording this. Sadly, it will have already passed by the time that this goes live, but we are on Gary Gygax Day Eve.
Yes.
So tomorrow is the day that nerds everywhere unite to light a candle for Gary Gygax.
Yeah, it's sad. You know, his passing, and if you play any sort of modern games, this guy here is he was the guy. You know, he's the grandfather of every game, whether it's first-person shooters, whether it's online RPGs, or even tabletop RPGs, because when, you know, he started making games, the best way to put it was he changed the rules, you know, instead of your classic little tiddlywink games and things like that. He went in there and changed it with Dungeons & Dragons, it's what made, you know, our whole idea of, like, strength modifiers, decks, and con, and all this stuff. What game have you not played that doesn't have that in? You know what I'm saying?
Well, in a way, he's kind of like Tolkien to fantasy writing.
Yeah.
Was he the first? No. He wasn't the first. But I promise you that all the stuff that's happening now, if you were to ask them where they would find their inspiration, where they find the various tropes and the mechanics and everything, it goes to them. People have been telling fantasy stories since forever, but I promise you that most of the modern fantasy tropes that we know, Tolkien is responsible for. Tolkien created orcs.
Yeah.
Orcs were not a thing until Tolkien made them. Likewise, yeah, there was all sorts of different gaming going on, but before Gygax, and one would also say Arneson, got together and made the thing that is D&D, then it really did. It changed the rules, which is funny when you said it changed the rules literally, because I think Arneson was ahead of the game with putting something together, and then Gygax came in and said, let me take this and help you make something awesome out of this. So he literally changed the rules. And I'm sure nerds everywhere, if I'm wrong, I think I'm right on my history, but I promise you that nerds everywhere will write in and tell me how wrong and terrible I am if I'm not accurate.
Well, there's different histories based on that. And I realize with the books that came out recently in the past 2 years about Gygax, the Arneson folks have kind of jumped on the bandwagons with a movie, and they're kind of working on a movie with that now and talking about who did it first. And, you know, it's not in what we do really who did it first. It's who marketed it first. You know, who got it to the table first, and who got it published, you know, and that's just some of the things that people don't understand. So,
well, and I've often said that it doesn't matter who did it first. I think both men are downright indispensable. Like, without either one of them, the hobby wouldn't be where it is now.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah.
So all that to say, we are getting super excited about Gen Con. And we wanted to do this 2-episode deal kind of leading up to it. And this time, you know, everyone's going to be like, well, what are you going to talk about, the games that are released? Because everyone who does a pre Gen Con episode of a podcast wants to talk about the games. If you need to scratch that itch right now, you can go to our website at inroadsministries.com. I have my Gen Con preview, which I did extra early because there were so many, if you've never seen my Gen Con preview, if you're new to the podcast, or you've never seen the site, for years now, I've done a Gen Con preview, but my Gen Con preview is literally taking the list from Board Game Geek, which is dozens upon dozens upon dozens of games, and kind of narrow that down. Well, this year, to be more specific, in years past, what's happened is that they'll post it, the person who puts it together gathers up the information, and then the closer we get to the event, it becomes more and more full of titles as more games get announced.
Yeah, the weekend before Gen Con, I have to go through that list with Kevin.
Yes, because you'll be dice hunting.
Well, for him, I'm helping him. And if anybody knows of any new games coming out with unique dice, email me or post it in the tavern for Kevin. We go through each game listed and we see if there's custom dice or unique dice. It has to be unique or custom. He doesn't want like a standard D6 or standard Dungeons and Dragons dice. So we go through each and every one of those listings and we make a list, and he has maps set up for us to run through this place to get to these places first, to get these dice before they run out. Just saying.
Well, like I that my Gen Con preview this year was basically as soon as the list became available, I opened it up saying, let's see what's there. There were so many titles that had my attention that I'm like, I can't wait, because if I wait, it's going to be insane. Like it's going to just be the list. I'm just going to literally just say, hey, I know Board Game Geek already posted this, but here it is again. So I did it a little early, and by and large, I looked at it recently, and by and large, the preview that I had is still pretty solid. It's the titles that are there are still the ones that have me the most excited. But there are titles that are creeping in. So if you're wondering if, you know, what I want to add to my list or what Daniel wants to put on his, that will be next episode. Because I figured at that point, if by the time, because literally the following episode happens, it drops literally the Monday before Gen Con. So yeah. If things aren't on the list at that point, they just ain't going to be on the list.
Yeah.
And so we're going to wait for it to talk about the titles and the games we're excited about and all that stuff for that one. This one, we wanted to talk a little bit about what it's like being at Gen Con, and specifically because Daniel is going to be there, we want to spend some time talking about kind of the stuff that he's excited about and really the stuff that he's doing, because as we've mentioned sometimes in the past, Daniel is actually part of the team doing the Gen Con trip for Game Church.
Yes. That's correct. I've been working with Game Church, and that's how me and Mike met, guys. We met through Game Church. Usually whenever somebody mentions something about D&D inside of Game Church, me and Mike are the first ones to get tagged with it, because they know we both
play. We are summoned from the ether.
Yes, and we take the document files that we have to cut and paste into our responses. Wait, I didn't say that. But anyway...
We really could. We could have just like stock files, just ready to go.
I know. Because it's always the same question. My pastor says Dungeons and Dragons is the work of the devil and it's evil, and I'm going to hell for playing it. What do you all think? No, that's my short answer. No, you're not. It's just a game. I've worked with them for over 4 years now, and. Actually, I learned about them through Gen Con. One of my buddies was going to Gen Con, and he came back. And this guy was part of my gaming group. We played D&D together, and it was kind of weird. We had a D&D/... I mean, this is before I knew this stuff existed. A D&D/ prayer group. So we would talk about our issues, pray a little bit, maybe spend some time in the Word, and then play Dungeons & Dragons. So here he comes back from Gen Con and says, guys, I got this stuff to show you. He hands me the Gamer Bible, and he hands me, the Jesus for the Win. He hands me some stickers and hands it out to everybody else. And I'm just looking at this, and I'm like, this is amazing. Why didn't we have this when we were in high school? Because this would have made things a whole lot easier to our parents. So then, I get involved there, and I'm like, whoa, they're going to Dragon Con. I'd never been at a convention at this point. I'm like, I want to go to Dragon Con, and I want to do it for Jesus. And so I do that, and then eventually I get into the community more and stuff, and I meet Mike, and then finally I go to Gen Con as a guest one year, and I was like, hey, my parent's going to be there. I want to meet my parent and talk to my parent for a minute. And the first thing I did was hug him.
It's true.
I'm a hugger, guys. So if you come up to me and like, hey, give me a hug, I will give you a hug. I don't care who you are. But I gave him a hug and we talked. And then I think it was a few days later when I got home, I was like, I really want to work with Inroads. And because it's more, because I don't play a lot of video games anymore. And even though I still work with Game Church, board games and tabletop is kind of my passion. If you know me at all, I have kids, and keeping them away from electronics is important. They do get screen time, but, I'd rather for me them to, and even when I'm not feeling like it, make me sit down and play a game with them. And let's get to the table and play some games. And I'd rather do that than be like, hey, you just go play Minecraft. Get out of my face right now. I don't like doing that. And I know sometimes I've had to do that just from when I've had a rough day or something. But, I think games are the way for everything. And sorry, I'm not trying to talk about what we exactly do here all the time that we always talk about. But so this is important to me. Gen Con's important. Just for the fact that there's going to be over 60,000 people there this year. We're going to be at the front doors on one of the most important rows, even though people think it's not. This is the rows where a lot of the dice manufacturers are going to be at this year. And everybody hits those dice booths. Everybody. And we're like in line with a lot of them. With Impact Miniatures, there's Crystal Cast, I think USopoly is going to be on that same line. And so there's going to be a lot of foot traffic. And so we have the ability to impact over 60,000 people. and tell them that Jesus loves them. But yeah, and that's just why it's so important that we get out there as Christians, and one, to show people that we are relevant. To show them that they are relevant and that we care about them and that you can't be labeled by your hobby.
We wanted to spend some time talking about just a little bit about like the things that we either have seen, because like I said, I can only speak from experience that I've had in the past, but Daniel can also talk about stuff that you're looking forward to. Some of the various social stuff, because again, next time we're talking about the games. So Daniel, but let's just get started. What are some, you've been before, I've been before.
Yeah.
What are some stories of things that you've seen that kind of stick with you? Kind of the things that get you excited about Gen Con, because it's a unique experience.
Food trucks.
Oh, the food trucks.
Overly priced food trucks with a little bit of food on. Nah, I do enjoy a good food truck. Y'all are going to be like, Daniel, man, you won't shut up about dice. I love seeing the new dice. I love going there and seeing all these dice and all these people crammed around these dice, going through these dice, trying to get the dice before somebody else gets the dice. And, you know, and even though I'm only buying 3 sets of dice while I'm there, 3 sets. You know, and 2 of those sets I have to rush for because they get sold out really quickly, and that's the Gen Con dice. And, that's just one of the things I like to see. I love seeing people excited about their hobbies. I love seeing them excited about what they do and stuff. And, you know, Gen Con compared to Dragon Con, there is a lot more kids there. And another thing that gets me is all the tables in the middle of the convention playing games.
There is no such thing as an empty flat surface at Gen Con. No,
there's not. So, okay. Imagine if you've ever been to a convention other than Gen Con, they try to put as much stuff in each square foot. Like, if we can get a booth in there, we're going to get a booth in there. At Gen Con, yeah, they do that, but part of the booth is always tables to game on, especially if you're Mayfair. There is usually like 40 tables of people playing nothing but Catan-style games.
Mayfair does a good job of getting people to come by, because one thing that I've always been entertained by every year that I went is the idea of the little badge ribbons.
Yeah.
And Mayfair... Every time you sit down at a table to play a game at Mayfair, they give you another little ribbon.
Yeah. And so these ribbons, though, if you get all of the ribbons that they give out, and it's usually one for each type of mineral, yeah, resources. So you get one for each resource. If you get them all and you can trade them in for an entry into, like, a raffle to win stuff. And I actually had a friend... His wife won one year, and it was like this huge Catan map that was like high res, printed on really nice lithographic paper and all this other stuff, and it was really nice. But you win copies of the games and stuff like that. Getting in there, I mean, you have the chance to walking out with more winnings than you do actual purchases. I'm over exaggerating. I'm trying to beef it up a little bit and make people want to go. But yeah, I mean, there's stuff going on everywhere, even for cheap people like me. I mean, there's lots of free swag.
I will say that the coolest thing that always happened to me, and it happened a bunch of times, is that whenever you wanted to game, I promise you, you could.
Yeah, and even if you've never played that game before, those people are willing to teach you how to play those games.
Well, I'm not even talking about the demo people. They have teams that's what they do. Yeah. I'm talking literally, you walk into a room.
Yeah.
Any room. Heck, you don't even need to walk into a room. You plop yourself down on a place in the hallway. If you have a game box in front of you, if you wanted somebody to play, I promise you could get them.
Yeah. Well, I was mainly talking about the main game hall where everybody just goes to play games, where they usually do the giant versions of Catan.
I The giant version of Catan, I haven't seen. The one that I love, the big giant version that I love, is the King of Tokyo. Have you ever seen that one? The giant King of Tokyo?
No, I haven't seen that one yet.
The monsters in King of Tokyo are basically like I'm a tall dude. I'm about 6 foot. So it's over waist high, these giant monsters. Yeah. And the dice are tremendous. The dice, like, you need both hands to try and get these dice. And it's so much fun. It's the kind of thing that's even fun just to watch being played. And it's so ridiculous because there's always somebody who's fumbling over their dice. And I love it.
And then you have, what is it, Card Yes. Hala?
Explain Card Hala to the uninitiated.
Okay, so Card Hala is a giant card castle. Like, you're building a castle with a deck of cards. But what happens, and this is the reason why this is so amazing, is, and if you know anything about Magic the Gathering, if your cards are over two releases too old, they're considered illegal. You can't play with them in tournaments. So people either just throw them away or they start playing wild card, which is a lot of the older stuff. But what a lot of people do is take their cards to Card Hala at Gen Con, and they literally build these dang humongous structures with them. And it's interesting to look in there and see all the different types of cards, because it's not just Magic cards. It's also like the Five Rings cards. Like, I haven't seen those in like 15 years. And like, there's cards for that in Card Hala. But anyway, so over the entire period of Gen Con, they build this humongous structure. And so what happens is they eventually say, okay, it's time to knock it all down. So the key is you take your change, your coins, and you throw it in there just to try to knock stuff over. And all the money that's collected from that is going to a charity. Yep. So, and then they also have a giant, usually a very big inflatable, it's made from balloons.
Yep.
There's a balloon artist there all day long. And I think what happens is they auction off the ability to pop this humongous piece of art.
No, I didn't realize that was a charity thing too.
I thought it was.
It could very well be.
I was told. So like this, like, one year he did a huge dragon. I think in another year he did it like a huge crab. And I mean, this thing is like 20 feet tall, and it's made out of the stinking balloons that balloon animals are made out of. And you get to pop it. Because I know the popping, but I thought it was through the auction that they do at the gym.
It could very well be. I just know my favorite thing about going to Card Hala is looking at all the extinct card games. Yes. The card games that are no longer available. I saw something from like the Doctor Who card game. I saw things from like stuff that you barely even know existed, and all of a sudden there's this tower coming out in the back of Card Hala based almost entirely off of those cards.
Yeah, a Spellfire.
Yep.
I think it was the original Illuminati card game. The Guardians card game that had beautiful artwork. I don't know why that game never really went anywhere. Everybody was just trying to copy Magic at the time, I think, in their success, because they blew up. So, but yeah, Card Hall is amazing. I'll take some pictures and see what different types of cards we get this year.
I don't know about for you, but for me, one of the coolest experiences, more of a generic, again, not a specific instance, but kind of the vibe of Gen Con that I kind of want to make sure that I'm communicating to people. I'm pretty sure I must have told this story before, but if I did, it was like two, three years ago. So I'm going to tell it anyway. There was one year that I was rushing. I forget. I was going to an event that I was late for, and I'm running. And so I'm shoving things in my pockets. I'm checking my phone to see, you know, what time it is and everything like that. And somewhere along the line, I dropped like $40. It just fell out of my pocket. Now, there are thousands of people in this hallway. I'm not speaking in hyperbole. There are literally thousands of people walking down this hallway. This guy stops, sees that I dropped that money, chased me down. Because like I said, I was running late. I was booking down this hall. Chased me down to give that back to me.
Wow.
And
it's amazing.
The reason that that seems like such a big deal, it's such a small little thing, but I'm like, he could have easily, like, no one would have even known that it wasn't his. No one would have even batted an eye. And yet he went out of his way. And the reason that that story becomes such a cool thing for me is when you realize that everybody who is at that event because we are a part of this community.
Yeah, it's family. It's I tell this to people all the time, especially when I'm interviewing my missionaries, was that last year I had probably one of the most, and I've mentioned this on the podcast too, one of the best experiences ever. And that was during the church service on Sunday morning. I got to go with TR and his girls. And, we did communion and everything else. And it was seriously like, these people are my family. You know, these are the same people. They've been through the same things I've been through. You know, we all pretty much kind of had the same type of story when it comes to our hobbies and how we got into them. And, you know, versus the some of us got ridiculed for it and some of us didn't. But, you know, we've all been through that. And then to be in a room full of Christians that have these same experiences. Yeah, so that, to me, that was amazing. It was a very wonderful moment because they are my people.
And I think that there's something important about that. I think there's something really, really interesting just about being together in that place and just understanding that you speak the same language. I don't want to, I mean,
yeah.
I will continue to say that over and over and over again. Like it's a theme that goes through all the stuff that we do is that just that knowledge that when you speak of something, you don't need to define your terms. It was a handful of episodes ago that we talked about that, how unique and powerful it is when you don't have to define your terms.
Yeah.
Like you all speak the same language. You all have, if not the same experiences, you have similar experiences. You have a common basis. You've experienced certain things and you have that story already. And it goes beyond just the practical, did you do a thing or have you known a thing? It's just this feeling. I don't know. Conventions are unique like that. There is a feeling about being with all those people. Now, I know for a fact that some people think that being in a hall that's that full of people is intimidating or draining.
Yes.
In fact, I know a lot of media creators who are still at the point where they're like, this, conventions are draining and awful, but I love them. There's a certain energy that exists when you're in that place. And there's just this cool vibe when you can literally walk up to a table and be like, what's going on here? What are you guys playing? Or can I play? Or you are all there for the same purpose. Mm-hmm. And I don't know. I don't have words to describe that feeling. Everything that I try to say to describe the feeling of being at a convention like that and of being with people like that, it all just sounds like the same thing over and over again. Like it's really cool and it's, yeah. You know, people and you know things and it's great. And we like the same stuff. Woo. Like it sounds so cheesy, but I can't convey this feeling that exists when you walk into that room, especially when you go into one of the big rooms where it's nothing but tables full of games and tournaments are happening and all this stuff going on.
You get lost.
You can. And this isn't even the dealer hall. This is literally all the other rooms. Cause quite frankly, the dealer hall is great cause you get to see cool stuff, but the dealer hall is probably my least favorite part of Gen Con. Because it is standing room only, and you're always pushing your way through a crowd, and it's awful. Like the dealer hall is a very practical part of Gen Con. You're going there to see stuff, to try stuff, and to buy stuff. It's all the other places at the convention that really make me happy. It's all the really interesting conversations. It's all the cool people that you meet. The one year I'm still, like, it's funny because when we've gone to conventions at like the officially as Inroads, we've started doing this because of this woman I met. This one woman went to the booth and she was in like, I don't know. It wasn't like military, but it was like pseudo like uniform stuff. And I'm just looking at it's all threads and needles and all this stuff. And I'm like, what? Are you cosplaying something? And she goes, kind of. And she went on to tell the story about how she was part of an organization who basically go as cosplay support. They go around to cosplay people who need, like, who had a stitch blowout or needed some tape to fix up a thing or, like, it's a whole group. Like, there's a whole process of becoming part of this group that you need to demonstrate that you have the skills to do this stuff and represent the organization well and fix costumes on the fly. And I'm like, this is so, like, it's to the point now where Sean actually brings little portable sewing kits when we go to conventions, just in case.
Yeah, I need to bring the 3D printer just in case we need to 3D print some cosplay.
Yeah, like those things, those little moments are great, and I'm still floored. I won't go into the full story because I've told it literally as many times as I can, and I also I'll probably post the link when we do this. There is a article I wrote shortly after. I think it was actually the last Gen Con trip I was at, but it's a post called "Remembering David." And it's a story of this family who lost their son weeks before Gen Con happened. But the kid was such a passionate gamer that they're like, we need to go because he would want us to be here and all that. I'm like to hear those. There was another year I went and there's dude and he was just covered in pins. And I realized that a lot of them were military. And I'm like, hey, man, did you serve? And he goes, yeah. And we ended up talking and just in the Tuesday, like he wasn't even at our booth. He was waiting in line at the booth next to us to get something that they had. Cause every year there's a book of coupons and stuff. And I think the booth next to us had one going. So he was like waiting to cash that in. And I'm like, hey man, I just noticed your pins and everything. That's really cool. And before I knew it, we were praying and this dude was just weeping, telling his story about how like he was, it's funny. I've talked to other people that have military experience and some of them, not all of them, but some of them have had this very similar thing where it's like you spend all your time learning how to fight. So when you can't fight anymore, all you want to do is go back.
Yeah.
And
it's one of those things that just, I've dealt with people like that before and, you know, they are completely different people than what you originally knew because they get trained. They get their old self beat out of them pretty much.
Yeah. And this guy had an injury, which meant he physically couldn't. He wanted to go back. It was all that he knew. It was all he felt he was good at, but he couldn't. And praying with that dude, like I needed like a good 10, 15 minutes of just sitting at the booth quietly after I hung out with that guy, just because that experience was such a meaningful thing there. And like that kind of stuff happens. Like Gen Con is what really solidified like what had been hypothetical to me before I ever started going to conventions. This idea that games provide an opportunity to have conversations of deep and intense import just because you start talking about stupid, silly things. And some of the conversations I've had through the course of going to Gen Con are just insanely beautiful. And that's not limited to Gen Con. I think the reason Gen Con is special there is just because there are so many people. Like there are almost twice as many people at Gen Con as the next biggest convention. So yeah, there's just more opportunity and it's more craziness. And like I said, there is no such thing as an empty flat surface because entire hallways break out into gaming. But I don't know, for me that has always been the thing. It's that idea of connection. And Gen Con, there are so many times when you get to see people that you'd never see before. Like, I have a collection of what I refer to as my internet friends, the people who I've met on Twitter who are doing gaming stuff. And we talk on Twitter constantly and we poke fun at each other and we have GIF battles where we just post stupid animated things at each other for, you know, hours on end. Gen Con is literally the only place I've ever seen those people because they literally live on the other side of the country.
I haven't seen you since Gen Con. And TR, I mean, I got to meet TR for the first time last year at Gen Con. And, you know, he's become one of my greatest friends. I love him to death. And he's great. So are you. I mean, you're all right.
I'm okay. I do all right for myself. Speaking of TR, one of the cool things that's happening this year, which is a first... Yeah. This year, TR is representing Inroads among all the – that dude has so many hats on. It's insane. Yeah. But particularly, he is representing Inroads because his monthly blog that he does for our site called Cyclopedia is up for an Ennie. And if you don't know what the Ennies are basically an award that is given out every year at Gen Con. And it's – basically for excellence in role-playing related stuff. So it's podcasts, it's blogs, it's resources, it's accessories, it's modules, it's all that stuff. And TR is actually nominated for, and I'm sure if you're part of the tavern or you see our Facebook group page, you already know that this is a thing because we have been telling you to go out and vote since we found out he got officially nominated. But the awards are happening at Gen Con, and we'll find out whether or not TR is bringing home the Ennie. I will say outright, voting's closed, so don't worry. Sorry if you didn't, you know, get a chance to do the vote. That's okay, but the voting has closed. But whether he gets it or not, I just want to take a moment to say just how proud I am that TR writes for our site. TR,
yeah, he's really
TR is great. No, TR is a phenomenally awesome guy. His family is great. I haven't had a lot of time to sit down with his wife, but the time that I have spent with her, she is an absolutely wonderful woman. His daughters are fantastic, incredibly talented girls. My goodness, that entire family is full of awesome. And
yeah, they are.
And this dude literally, like, has a side business working in the games industry. Like, he edits rule books. Like, there are times when I will crack open one of the game books for a game that I've just purchased, and I'm like, oh, look, there's TR's name in the rule book because I know him. And the fact that he writes for us and does a phenomenal job, it's really funny because one time on Twitter, I was trying to get people to vote for him, and he's like, it's partly due to your editing. I'm like, dude, you have no idea how little editing I need to do for you. I'll claim it if you want, but man, he does phenomenal work, and I don't have to do a thing. I basically look it over to, you know, do spelling and, you know, not even spelling. It's more like rampant, you know, punctuation, maybe. Then, it's... like, it's rare to never that I have to do a speck of work for that because he just does such a good job. And he does such a good – the stuff that he compiles is from all over nerddom. And it's such a good resource, and I'm so glad it gets to be on our site. So regardless of whether or not we get to report that he won or not, yeah, I'm just super happy that he got nominated and is getting recognized because he does phenomenal work. And I want to make sure that on our podcast, we say that he does phenomenal work.
I'm excited that he invited me to go to the Ennies.
Yeah, you're his Ennie date.
It's okay. I mean, it's just, it's awesome. I mean, he is so talented, and, you know, I'm going to pretty much say the same thing as Mike did. And he is probably one of the kindest and greatest men I've ever met. He's a really good brother in Christ as well. You know, it's just, I can't wait. I can't wait to hang out with him. That Friday night, we're doing the innies. And then after that, he has a game thing that him and his family usually host at their hotel in the lobby. And I've taken the entire Game Church Gen Con crew to that game night. So we're all going to be playing board games with TR that night.
That's awesome. So tell me, tell the people a little bit more about specifically, like we talked generally, we've talked about how we have this passion for gaming and ministry. We talked about just the stuff that we love seeing at Gen Con. You are actually going to be there specifically as a missionary for Game Church. So I know we've hinted at a little bit, but just, I know you've got some people that you already have signed up. You're good to go. The trip is happening.
Yes.
But share a little bit about kind of what the – well, let's just put it this way, because there is always room for more people to show up.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. There's always room. We'll never turn people away. We do have to meet a minimum requirement of people. We do have to get their money fundraised because Game Church, the way it works is – your ticket that you're buying for this mission trip, part of it goes to the booth, part of it goes to your badge, part of it goes to the hotel room, and the other part goes to the materials we hand out. And if we have to fly in somebody from Game Church, then part of that goes to that plane ticket. It is a high amount compared to going overseas sometimes for mission trips. But when you see the breakdown of it, it does make sense. We do get a lot of people that complain about that, and they never really sign up about it. They get interested and thinking that they could get into a con really cheap.
Yeah.
And get vendor badges really cheap. And then they get in there and they're like, oh, we start telling them the details of it. And they're like, this is a lot of money and a lot of work. And I'm like, yeah. And if you're not willing to pay for it, I don't want to take you. I've got full team on board right now, and it can always grow. And we're still fundraising as well. So that's one of our biggest things is to get that fundraising taken care of. So,
but what, like, I'm sure that it's easy to look back in the history. I mean, Game Church does a good job of having videos and all sorts of stuff about past experiences with that. Share a little bit kind of about what your experience has been, because you've done stuff with Game Church before. I kind of squatted on on the Game Church, but I've never been officially a part of it.
So I think the first Game Church mission trip that I did sticks out to me because I actually got to meet Mikey Bridges. It was the first time at Dragon Con, and I guess Mikey always goes first to one of the newer conventions just so he could see if it would be worth them going back. And so we were there, and I get to meet this man. Dude's taller than me. I don't meet a lot of people taller than me. And he is a giant. If you ever follow his Instagram, he's a giant. Getting up there and just him hitting us with, some of the way we're going to be treated and things like that. And I didn't really expect it, but I kind of did in the back of my head. But going there, we had different types of people walk up to us every time. And a lot of people were like, thank you. Thank you. You're doing this a lot differently than the guy outside. We had people walk up to us like, I came by here yesterday and I got your book, and I'm a transcendental humanist, and I read your book, and it was good stuff. And I'm sitting here thinking, that person just read the entire Gospel of John in one night. I haven't even done that. And so these people are getting the word. They are we're throwing this seed out there. As Mikey puts it, our job is just to chuck seed into this field. And I remember at the end of that first Dragon Con, and Mikey was sitting there trying to make the decision on whether, because you had to buy the booth for next year that day.
Yes, you do.
So he was sitting there, I was like, I don't know. I looked at him and said, I'll come back. And he just looks at me, and I said, I'll come back. And he's like, okay. And then, you know, other people were like, this is great. And we had books left over. It was our first time there. We brought like 6,000 books. And we didn't know how many people it was. But at the end of it, Mikey turned around and went down there and bought another booth for next year. And that's that following year's the first year I was made team leader. They asked me, it's like, do you want to be the team leader for the Dragon Con trip? And I'm like, yeah. And so that year I got to raise a team and help them get funded. And I think for me, that's one of the greatest things, because you get these people that are so on fire to go to these conventions and just spend time with other Christians that are like themselves and that play the same games that they play and want to do the same thing about telling people about Jesus.
Well, I think that it's an interesting dynamic there, because, yeah, it's both encouraging for the people who do it, because we do want – it is hard. You know, as much as – I think the reason that people listen to us is not – like, we don't do, like, a super overproduced, you know, podcast here. We don't have segments, and we don't have the clean polish. And yet people from all over – it's fun because I can say this – literally all over the world still listen to us. And I think part of that is because there are so many of us out there – who think that they're the only ones who feel this way, who do the stuff that we do while still loving God the way we do. And so I know for a fact that that is an encouragement to be there and to not only hang out with people who love God and love games, but to see them, people who are passionate about talking to people about God, who are passionate about doing this kind of ministry. It's why I couldn't shut up after I got back from doing the Game Church Academy and speaking there. It's a great, great time to just hang out with people who are passionate about doing this stuff. Because I think that that's something that's interesting is that, and you've hit on a bunch of this stuff going into this part of the show. I think that there's something that doesn't necessarily click a lot of times when we talk about missionaries. Yeah. And I think that it's the idea that yes, we think it's physically taxing. Like we think of, oh yes, you're giving up so much and you're doing all this work and everything, but it's all this hypothetical stuff. And it's interesting. I've lost track of the number of volunteers who's like, I want to help at an Inroads event. I go, okay, let me explain to you what this means. It means you are playing what they want, not what you want. It means that if there are five people and it's a five-player game, you are not playing. You will always be available when somebody has a question. It means if I need you to do something, that means you're stopping what you're doing and doing what I need you to do. It means that you are going out of your way to be there for other people, often to the detriment of your own comfort and your own stuff that you want to do.
Right. Well, something that just stuck out to me, you let your guys play.
Oh, yeah, games. I do.
I don't. Their job is to stay there and help the other people play the game.
Well, a lot of the time that ends up being the same thing. Like, they're playing games with the people they're teaching them to.
Different styles. We got to get on the same page.
Yeah, there needs to be the official, you know, stance on whether or not people get to play or not. But this is, you know, at the end of the day, yeah, like I've told the story. I don't think I have told it on here, but there's a story that's in my back pocket of a guy who I went to seminary with, and we're like, so what do you plan on doing when you get done? It's a standard, you know, beginning of your education kind of story, you know, kind of dialogue that you have with people. And this guy's like, I want to go back home to Hawaii and preach to people who are doing surfing. And we're like, oh yes, must be rough. How you must suffer for the cause of Christ to go out and hang out with surfers all day in Hawaii. And he looked at us. He goes, do you ever actually hang out in the parts of Hawaii that aren't tied to a resort? And we're all like, no. He goes, yeah, let me tell you some stories. And he's like, I have seen stuff. And yeah, these guys are surfers. And yeah, when they're out on the waves, they're having a lot of fun. But I promise you that those guys are dealing with some stuff. And a lot of times they spend times on the waves to forget about the hardships they have when they come off. And I'm thankful that I got to talk to that guy, because now as I sit here and I go, yeah, my ministry is oftentimes just playing games with people. That is often a lot of my ministry. And people are like, oh yeah, you know, it must be so hard. You must do so much work. And I'm here to tell you that when you're doing this right, and I've spent a lot of years figuring out what right looks like, it is nothing but work. It is, yeah, you are playing, but I've got a phrase that I tell to my volunteers. I said, this is the hardest you're going to work, having fun with people.
Yeah. And it's funny thing is, though, I'm writing the sermon that I'm giving this Sunday, last Sunday to you guys listening. And that's one of the things I put in there that's about ministry, is like, if it's not hard, then you're not doing it right. And I said, even in my ministry, you know, I get a tough time, and a lot of it's from churches and just from what we do, because a lot of them think that we're not a real ministry. And I get a lot of flack about that. Oh, your ministry's playing board games? Why don't you go out and feed the homeless? Well, if they show up to one of my gaming events, yeah, I have food for them and games that they can play with me. But I mean, And I'm not trying to shoot down that, but yeah, and as I was saying, though, every ministry is hard. It's very emotionally taxing, and if not physically taxing, and we all have to go through it. And you're, as Mike's saying, is you're going to work.
Yeah, you do work, and it's funny because I try not to repeat myself over and over again, but it's funny because apparently there's a theme, because I find myself, now that I've started doing Bard and Bible on the off weeks when I'm not doing this podcast, I'm realizing that the stories kind of interchange at different times. Like I already talked about in one Bard and Bible episode, I believe it was in one episode, I can't remember which number, but there was an episode where I talked about the Father Mulcahy problem. And it goes back to an episode of MASH where Hawkeye's having some issues or whatever, and Father Mulcahy's talking to him, and he says, at the end of the day, when you fail or you succeed at the table, you know immediately that you have failed or you succeeded, and you move on from that. And he's like, I never know if what I've done has done any good. And that there's a lot that goes into doing ministry, and there's a lot that goes into the different aspects of what that looks like. And the idea of missionary is something that we have a very limited scope on. We have a very limited understanding of what it means to do missions work. Yeah, our people are not, you know, building, you know, hospitals. We're not, you know, sometimes we're feeding the hungry, and sometimes we're helping the sick, because we do Extra Life every year, and that's helping children's hospitals. But really, a lot of what we do is talk to people who are alone. That's a lot of what we end up doing. And that is, there is an emotional burden that comes when you are surrounded by that, because you realize that you are hanging out with people who are all sorts of in pain. And the upcoming Bard and Bible is going to be a interesting one. And it's going to be, in light of a handful, specifically one, but there's this growing trend of seeing celebrities, commit suicide. And yeah. I'm going to be talking about that. I'm going to be talking about that in light of my own dealings with being right on the edge of that. And I've said it before, and I will continue to say it, that gaming is a large portion of what saved my life. it has always been a huge, it's a place that I felt at home when I didn't think I had one. And now coming into this, I realized that we are the people who introduce people who are in that place. That we are the voice of people who get to say, no, you aren't alone. It might feel like that, but you aren't. There are people who care about you. And there's a lot of stuff that goes into that. There's a lot of weight and a lot of care and a lot of sacrifice when you get to be that person for other people, where that is, you know, what you're doing. And really, there isn't a single one of us where this is our job. I was just talking to Daniel before we got started. I'm about ready to start my second job. That isn't.
I mean, we don't make any money from this. And the people that we do, yeah. I pay money.
And, you know, I'm very selective of when I tell you guys that we would love and appreciate your donations to do what we do. I'm very selective about when we do that because I don't want to ever be those people who say that, you know, constantly driving people to give. I don't believe in that. But at the same point, stuff like this, stuff like we want to support people who are going to Gen Con. We want to go to more conventions, but as it stands, literally every one of us is, despite the fact that we're a nonprofit, despite the fact that we do have generous donations, there are still each and every one of us who are doing this out of pocket because there's a lot that goes into making this work. And there is a lot of stuff that is required before you even get to doing the ministry. Before you even get to the point where you can sit down and talk to people, before you even get to the opportunity to do stuff like that, there's a lot of stuff that happens in there. The fact that this is even hosted in a way that you can hear it, all this stuff. So a lot of people lately have asked, I love what you guys are doing. How can you help? And if you're not next to one of us, and if you're not a person who likes to write about games, I don't have a lot for you because we are still a super small ministry. The board consists of four of us and that's all we are. But one way that I promise you that you can help us to allow us to do stuff like Extra Life, to allow us to do stuff like getting people to conventions, to allow us to make the connections every day to do stuff. Like I'm running a game day at my church in a couple weeks and it costs just for a 3-hour, you know, get together with some food and everything. It's like $100. And I will gladly do it and I will continue to do it. And if I need to do it out of pocket, I'm going to do it because I believe passionately in this ministry. And I believe passionately in making this place where people can feel like they can come and hang out and know and get to know each other and find out about this Jesus in a way that is natural and is demonstrated long before it is, you know, preached at them. And if you'd want to support that, if you want to click on the donate button to help us out, I would greatly appreciate it because, we want to keep doing this. We want to keep having the resources, the time, and the ability to continue to do this work for people. And you guys are going to be what helps us do that. We want to continue to support the folks that are doing this Gen Con trip. It's not our baby. It is entirely a Game Church thing. But we love what they're doing over at Game Church. We love this booth and we love the fact that they're there at Gen Con. So, Daniel, you are doing a raffle / fundraiser deal to kind of help some of your team who haven't raised all their money yet kind of make stuff happen. So why don't you, to close us out, talk a little bit about the stuff that you're doing to raise funds for those guys.
Well, first of all, I am doing a raffle. This raffle If you've seen it posted in Tavern, I posted it in the Game Church groups and on my Facebook page and things like that. What I'm doing is giving away a set of Norse Foundry Precision aluminum dice with a dice vault. So the get in, it's $20, but the money is all going to pay for the raffle item and to help people at Gen Con. And so I do have to have at least 10 people to make this viable. But the actual dice set's like $140 in real life. So, but these are like some of the best dice you can get on the market right now. They are, you get to pick whatever color you want as long as it's in stock. And I'm ending that on the 5th, and I'm starting a new raffle after that, and it's going to be awesome as well. But we've also, on this raffle, had two sets of wine glass charms, gamer wine glass charms, thrown in by Sean. A meeple set and a dice set, and so we're going to be giving that away with the dice vault set as well. But also, if you just want to give us money, that's fine. I'm okay with that. You don't have to be in the raffle to give us money. As I said before, this is an expensive trip. And I do have missionaries that are trying to do this without support of the church. I've had missionaries whose churches just pretty much laughed kind of in their face saying that we're not a real mission. And it really upset me. And, I've made it kind of a personal thing of helping, these missionaries. It's part of my job as a team leader to help them raise money. But when that happens, it just infuriates me. But again, I don't want to go into details on that. But if you want to do that, that's great. If you want to help just one single missionary, that's fine. Contact me on Facebook. A lot of you that listen know who I am. If you just want to give money, my PayPal, I take it straight to my PayPal. It's Daniel.L.Fisher@gmail.com. And I'll apply it if you send money that way and just say this is for Gen Con. I'll distribute it equally throughout the missionaries that haven't got their money yet. I think we've got, if I have to say off the top of my head, we probably got close to $2,800 left to raise. And I know it's a lot of money, and hopefully we can get there, just to make sure everything's taken care of.
I can seriously lose track of all the cool stories of how God has done really awesome things on the floor of conventions like Gen Con. It's where I've made some truly amazing friends. It's where I've done some of the most difficult and yet most rewarding ministry I've ever done in my life. And you guys can help get folks to that floor, can help put boots on the ground, can help people see a little bit of who God is. And yeah, if you can, I really hope that you prayerfully consider doing that, because it really is a blessing to help get these people to get there and to help serve, but also all the literally tens of thousands of people who may just have an absolutely terrible time with the church, have a chance to literally get a portion of scripture in their hands. And not only that, but actually want to read it. So, if you can, definitely give that a look. And if you want, there's never going to be a time when Game Store Profits or anything else Inroads does is behind a paywall. We don't believe in that. We are a nonprofit, but this stuff does cost. And if you want to help us support, what we do and help us to keep doing this stuff, keep working with churches, keep creating gaming events, keep demonstrating the love of God over the gaming table, you can just go to inroadsministries.com/donate. There's a donate button on the site. It's really hard to miss. And we would really appreciate it. And all that said, guys, look, look to come back next episode to hear more about Gen Con, specifically to talk about the games that we're excited about. And always remember, God is the game master. No matter how the dice fall, the game plays on.